Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I am Eric Garthy, and we are in class with David. Lessons on Developing Leaders. In this session, we'll be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 12 to 16, the pressure of a servant. Let's read those verses. 1 Samuel 18, beginning with verse 12. Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Let's back up a little bit to verses 10 and 11. And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand, as at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the spear, for he said, "I will pin David to the wall." But David escaped his presence twice. King Saul was obviously not a happy camper. And why is that? Well, go back to verses 7 and 8. So the women sang as they danced and said, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" Jealousy expressed in anger. First, envy becomes bitterness, then bitterness becomes hatred, and finally, hatred explodes. It's anger and destruction. And often, those closest to the person are hurt the most. James 1:20 states, "The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." The apostle states King Saul's problem in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 13. Look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. That's the way it works. We become bitter and angry, and that spills out and touches those around us. David defeated Goliath, helping rout the Philistines. David faithfully served the king in battling the enemy. David ministered to Saul with music. What was the problem? The problem was the people praised David. Saul knew that God had rejected him as king, and so bitterness developed. Because you see, sin is never an isolated event. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." It's not just a possibility. Newly anointed David became Saul's target, and the king included others in his wrath. Our adversary, the devil, he knows exactly when and how to attack. But consider that for a moment. The enemy's persecution of believers. First, the enemy will make direct attacks. Just Saul's ways with David. He threw a spear at him. The same one that we saw in chapter 18, verses 10 and 11, he threw at him also in chapter 19, Verses 9 and 10. Now the distressing spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he sat in his house with his spear, and David was playing music with his hand. And then Saul sought to pin David to the wall with the spear, but he slipped away from Saul's presence, and he drove the spear into the wall. And so David fled and escaped that night. And then he pursued him. Chapter 19, again, verses 19 to 23. Now it was told Saul, saying, "Take note, David is at Naoth in Ramah." Then Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the group of prophets prophesy and Samuel standing as leader over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when Saul was told, he sent other messages, and they prophesied likewise. And then Saul sent messages again and a third time, and they prophesied also. Then he went to Ramah and came to the great well that is at Shechem. So he asked and said, Where are Samuel and David? And someone said, "Indeed, they are at Naoth and Ramah." So he went to Naoth and Ramah. It wasn't enough that he tried to kill him. He then pursued him to get him. And then he used friendship. Chapter 20, verse 25 down to verse 31. Now the king sat on his seat, as at other times, on a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's place, sat by Saul's side. But David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul did not say anything that day, for he thought, something has happened to him. He's unclean. Surely he's unclean. And it happened the next day, the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul came to Jonathan, his son. "Why has the son of Jesse not come to eat, either yesterday or today?" And so Jonathan answered Saul, "David earnestly asked permission of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, 'Please, let me go, for our family has a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to be there. And now if I have found favor in your eyes, please let me go away and see my brothers.' Therefore, he has not come to the king's table." And then Saul's anger was aroused against Jonathan. He said to him, "You son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on earth, you shall not be established, nor your kingdom. Now therefore, send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die." So there'll be direct attacks. And then second, the enemy will make indirect attacks through others. Saul commanded his servant to go after David. Chapter 19, verse 1. Now Saul spoke to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted greatly in David. Saul sent his messengers to do the job for him. Verses 11 and 12 of 19. Saul also sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to kill him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed." So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. This happens when the attacker wants to appear innocent. He'll have others do his dirty work for him. And then third, the enemy will make not direct attacks, not indirect attacks, but deceptive attacks by luring someone into danger. Saul assigned David to fight the Philistines. In chapter 18, verse 17. Then Saul said to David, "Here is my older daughter Merab. I will give her to you as a wife. Only be valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles." For Saul thought, "Let my hand not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him." What's interesting about this what Saul has done to David. Later, when David is king, he himself tore a page right out of that same book with his own military leader, Uriah, in the whole Bathsheba affair. He who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. David suffered wrongly, as will every godly believer. How should we respond? Well, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. The Apostle Paul says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in the heart, in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us." So how did David respond? Well, he simply allowed God to rescue him. There's no mention of any retaliation. He rested in God's grace. So what's the point here? David didn't fight his persecution. He remained loyal to the king. The Lord provided escape and let him suffer. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 down to verse 24. "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongly. For what credit is it if, when you're beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." Let me back up that again. "Leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Let me ask you a question to think about. How do you respond to persecution for righteousness? You have a great day.